So I'm not promising a lot of laughs today, but at least the first part of my sermon today is kind of the liturgical equivalent of a clip episode to help us all remember some of the key points in our season of gratitude, which we are tying up today, and what it means to live and practice gratitude as a lifestyle. But we do have some brand new content this week too, our Bible story about Zacchaeus and a special guest that I'll introduce in a couple of minutes. The main point that I started with 5 weeks ago, if you can remember that far back, was that gratitude begins with wonder. Noticing the wonder of creation all around us and within us. The beauty and the bounty and the wonder of this marvelous planet and the rich diversity of all of its creatures, including us human beings, is a source of wonder. And it's all meant to be shared with everyone. All of the planet, all of the gifts, in all their diversity of each person. We are meant to be shared with the world as well. I shared the story of a cashier in a grocery store who believes that she's been called to a ministry of friendliness and community building. She does her ministry in the midst of ringing up grocery orders because for many lonely folks in her community, she realizes that she might be the only person they speak to that day or perhaps even all week. So she tries to build relationships with folks as they go through the checkout line. And apparently her line at the grocery store is always the longest, not just because it takes longer, but because so many people want to go through her line. In the words of the great American preacher Howard Thurman, one of my favorite mottos of life, don't ask what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. What we love, what makes us come alive, is what the world needs. Like another great preacher, Frederick Buechner, famously said, our calling is the place where our deep gladness meets the world's deep need. And discovering and using the multiplicity of gifts that we have been given for the sake of others, for the sake of this world that God loves, is the best kind of gratitude in action. And it will make us come alive and feel God's pleasure. And it is the great antidote to despair, which is so easy to come by these days. And that brings me to our special guest today, Shaida Rahmatullah. Come on up, Shaida. Now, some of you know Shaida very well because she has been involved with us here at Gilmore Park for many years, being extremely active in our community meal program. And she was a big volunteer this past summer at Camp Spirit, and you've been involved in all kinds of things with us for many years, right, Shaida?
Yes.
Yeah. But some of you may not know Shaida, because you don't see her usually here on a Sunday. Today is special, because Shaida is part of the Ismaili Muslim community. And I, like, I've enjoyed so much meeting all the various community volunteers in our various programs. Shida's one of the wonderful people that I've enjoyed getting to know. And we got talking one day about, why are you here? Why are you involved? And, well, why are you here, Shida?
Thank you, Bruce. And hello to everybody. As Bruce said, my name is Shida Remtula, and I feel very blessed and honored to be here today and to say a few words about the community meal. First and foremost, I would like to thank all the donors and the board and the team members and the volunteers and everybody, each and everybody who is part of the community meal to make this a huge success in our community. I would also like to thank you all individually for living in your own name, Gilmore Park United Church. United is the key word because here you are uniting all the communities around to come and participate in this wonderful tradition that you have taken. It is part of God's work to help the unfortunate. And we are very, very grateful to be here in Canada, which is heaven on earth. Let me tell you that, because I'm an immigrant from Africa, and I never came with all these blessings. And once I came to Canada, I realized that you have to give back to the community. You have to give back because you are so blessed to have all those returns from God Himself. By whatever name you call Him, by whatever religion you follow, does not matter, because God is one. He gives you the passion to come here. He gives you the passion to do the work, His work, and through Him, we are grateful to be given the opportunity to do the work. So my motivation here is to make sure that as I came as an immigrant with a young child and had no food in the house for 3 days, and I didn't know what to do, and I didn't realize that there were food banks, I was not aware, I was not knowledgeable in the life of living in Canada, to make sure that no child, no human being should go hungry. And I think this church is doing a wonderful job in action of providing meals to the unfortunate ones. Not only the ones who are living in the streets, but also to the community around who have dementia or Alzheimer's or cancer, or who are unable to cook their own food or light up a stove, and we are there to help them. So I say thank you, and it's my honor and my pleasure, and I'm so proud to be part of this community. Thank you.
Thank you, Shida. Before I let you sit down, though, thank you for your affirming words, for your encouragement for all of us, and your inspiration. For those who don't know, Shida works full-time. She provides meals in, which school is it, Shida?
You Board High School.
Yeah, and so she shows up here on Thursday afternoons after she's worked a full day, and continues to work with our meal program here, and we're so grateful. How do you find the energy?
I just feel it's God's work, and He gives you the energy. We are all given the opportunity to help out, so please do help out in any way, whether it's clothing, as we need clothing, soaps, whatever they need. Is it food? Is it shelter? Even your time and knowledge. Because if you have the knowledge, like the cook who cooks the food, like the volunteers and the sous chefs who help out, it's all giving time and knowledge. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Shida.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
So what a great example, right, of practicing gratitude. And I know we could list lots of other wonderful examples here in this room right now, in our wider community. One of the wonderful things that we get to do is to gather folks from all different walks of life to participate in that ministry and lots of others, where we care for folks who are in need in our community, our neighbors. We're also, of course, involved in works of social justice, of advocacy, of lobbying, policy work through the United Church of Canada, working for a more just world where all can be safe. Today, as some of you will know, is the Trans Day of Remembrance. It's a day when we stop and remember those people throughout the world, people who are transgender, who have been killed in the past year because of their identity, because of their gender identity. Being a trans person, even in this city, and certainly in many parts of the world, is one of the most vulnerable and dangerous ways to live. And it's a terrible, sad truth how many are lost every year. And so we are remembering those folks in our prayers and continuing to work in partnership with others for a more safe and just world. And that brings me to the story of Zacchaeus. Now, some of us know this story since we were pretty young. And if you're like me, you might have had a kind of a romanticized picture of this short little guy who climbs up on a tree to get a good look at Jesus. You know, there's enough ambiguity in the text here. It's not entirely clear if it was that he was actually physically short or if he was considered a person of small character that resulted in him being excluded, that people shunned him because he was seen as a traitor to his people, an agent of the Roman occupation who stole from his people. But whatever the reason, he heard about Jesus and he wanted to get a good look at who this guy was that they were talking about. And to be clear, Zacchaeus wasn't just a misguided person, he was a bad man. People hated him for good reason because of his collaboration with the Roman imperial occupation. When Jesus passes through Jericho, the crowds gather and he goes by the spot where Zacchaeus has perched himself up in the tree. And he stops, not just to notice this strange curiosity, but he stops and addresses this man, much to the horror of the crowds. He invites himself over for dinner. Now, this is a political act, let's be very clear. To offer to eat with someone who is considered an outsider was a radical act. And people grumbled and complained and criticized, and Jesus carried on. And as far as we can tell from this story, even before they got to his home and had that meal, it created a transformation in Zacchaeus that was remarkable. In this act of inclusion, in this act of grace, Zacchaeus took hold of an opportunity to make changes, to transform his behavior. With giddy enthusiasm, he offered to give generously to those in need, but more than that, to pay back any he may have overcharged, defrauded, stolen from. He generously poured out his grateful response to Christ with monetary repentance and just compensation and compassionate gifts beyond those. And he was having fun, guaranteed. He was full of joy as he poured out that joyful gratitude. Something extraordinary happens when we encounter the living Christ who welcomes us no matter who we are, no matter how others have treated us, no matter where we stand in the community. In Christ, we meet the love and grace of a God who does not condemn us, but instead invites us into deep and intimate relationship with our Creator, and to live the abundant, grateful, generous lives that we were all created to live. This is true grace. Unmerited, unconditional, unlimited, and extremely unpopular grace. It's a grace that precedes anything we say or do. Jesus didn't offer to come and eat with Zacchaeus after he had made all of his offers and changes. That grace was expressed before any of that. And indeed, it was Zacchaeus' response to that grace. The grace we receive is no different than the extraordinary grace that Zacchaeus experienced. Christ stops beside us and invites himself into our lives, into our homes, ignoring the popular calls of others who would want to say something about why we don't belong. Christ accepts us and sets us free to be reconciled and to live in communion with God, and has fun doing it. What joy there is in knowing how deep and wide is God's love for us. What delight there is in celebrating the liberation that we find through Christ. And that thrill of grateful enthusiasm is multiplied tenfold when we are set free from the sense of fear and withholding that many of us live with about our possessions, about our time, about the gifts that we have been given. We are set free to share our time and our talents and our treasure, all of our resources and gifts. Zacchaeus is a wonderful model for us for how we can respond to God's amazing grace, for how we can practice gratitude. Let's hear the invitation to discover the joy, the fun of multiplying the joy of our grateful response to God's generosity with our own generous response. May God bless us as we learn how to live in gratitude, how to practice gratitude, and share with all. Amen.